90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. This is Jack Falinski,
Brian Levinka,
J.D. Doyle,
and Andrew Edmondson,
Matthew Williams,
Summer Iman,
and Glenn Holt. Tonight on Queer Voices, we have a group discussion of the ABC miniseries When We Rise, which follows a diverse group of LGBT men and women through the beginnings of the civil rights movement.
And on a personal note, Cleve Jones is probably about 6 months older than I am, so his timeline was a lot like mine as being an activist, except he came out a lot earlier than I did, which was, you know, one of the central characters in this show. It's a show on ABC that ran last week, 8 hours worth. So with me is J.D. Doyle and Andrew Edmondson to sort of talk a little bit about this epic show that really did sort of break. I mean, we've had a lot of really good stuff on TV, but I think this is something that really centered on our history of the modern gay movement.
It was epic, and it was 8 hours.
Yes.
Plus an hour documentary of epic on ABC. Like, whoa.
Prime time, 8 to 10.
Yeah, who saw that coming, you know?
Exactly, yeah. I heard the ratings weren't all that well, but one of the things they said is, like, a lot of people probably DVR'd the show, right, and a lot of people watched it online because the younger people don't really sit down and watch TV like we used to. I don't even do that
anymore. I DVR everything.
Yes, I DVR all that stuff. Well, a lot of people don't even have DVRs, but they find ways to watch it. So there also were some inaccuracies that they had to sort of compress and telescope within the show to sort of set the mood the way it was. J.D., you want to comment on that?
Oh, being a picky historian, I was watching this and saying, oh. So I'll mention a handful of things that I found that I took issue with.
Okay.
And I know why they did it, but it's still history. In part one, a major scene is in the Black Cat Bar, which is a famous San Francisco bar. And it was a gathering place. It was of the community. But the bar closed in 1964, and our heroes got there in 1972. So this was a leap that I don't think needed to be taken for the sake of including the Black Cat. It was cool to see the Black Cat.
Yeah, and a part of it was, too, was about the bar raids, I think they wanted to show.
Yeah, the bar raid stopped in 1965 in San Francisco. So that was also not correct.
Yeah, although in other cities we still had some bar raids.
Of course we did.
Including Houston.
Of course
so,
we did.
So, you know, setting that tone there.
And it was cool to see Jose Saria, the legendary character. I've met him. I've interviewed him. He was phenomenal. He didn't have the personality of the person shown in the show, which is unfortunate, but nice to see him giving some recognition. And they showed Sylvester performing at that bar, which, of course, did not happen.
Right. But, you know, Sylvester was a major star in that era, and it was nice that they were sort of be able to include him in it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some, I understand some of this stuff. It's not a perfect history thing,
right,
but it did set the tone of what it was like living as an openly gay man. Even in San Francisco, there were problems.
Yeah. I have some other issues. Yeah, of course I do. The NOW conference that they showed the women tearing off their jackets to reveal Lavender Menace t-shirts happened in 1970 in May in New York. And it wasn't clear where that happened, but it wasn't 1972.
That's so close. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it would have been nice to find time to mention the sodomy decision, Lawrence v. Texas.
Yeah.
That was a big, big oversight.
Which sort of opened the door to same-sex
marriage. You wouldn't have same-sex marriage if you didn't have Lawrence v. Texas.
So let me play devil's advocate.
Okay.
I was talking to a young man 2 or 3 years ago in his early 30s, incredibly bright, and he was telling me how he knew almost nothing about the AIDS crisis. And he said, "Do you know the reason I know anything about the AIDS crisis? was because there was a movie, Angels in America, on HBO. And this was an HIV-positive young man. When they revived Larry Kramer's seminal play about the AIDS crisis, The Normal Heart, in New York in 2012, they had all these millennials coming out weeping from the theater because they had not heard this history or learned this history. So I think we, two of the three people in this room, live that history. I think it's incredibly important to think about young LGBT people who may not have had clue one. Mm-hmm. I went to high school with a woman, and she was posting on Facebook about, I never knew this. This is incredible. This show has moved me so much. It's taught me so much. I had other straight friends post on Facebook, wow, I never knew about this. So I think this could be, in some ways, a roots moment for people, where in the 1970s, you got to see this show about what it was like to be African-American and to be in slavery in America.
And let's say that HBO did Angels in America for, you know, not everybody has HBO, but they also did A Normal Heart, and a number of other plays that were around our community to get beyond the New York, you know, theater. So I commend, and you know, I actually worked for ABC for a couple years. And back in the 80s, they actually had a non-discrimination clause where they were way ahead of the curve of almost any other company in this country. So I give them credit for doing it. I give them credit for doing this show. I think they tried to do so much, and I think they did pretty well on it. I can't say they're perfect.
I'm glad they did. They perhaps tried to personalize things too much, but that was the way they used to show the stories, mm-hmm. to show what was going on in the background.
For me, what I felt like and what was very interesting was the kind of histories of the gay rights movement I've heard have been so centered on New York. The Stonewall Riots, ACT UP's formation in the 1980s, the first Mattachine demonstrations are in D.C., kind of on the East Coast, against discrimination and employment. It had all been East Coast centered. And this miniseries for me showed me, wow, California played an incredible role. Look at not only Harvey Milk, which kind of many people know, but look at Proposition 8 and how that looked to be a disaster, but it was turned around in a very unlikely legal team of the two guys who fought each other in Bush v. Gore and taken all the way to the Supreme Court. And it makes you see, like, New York is not the only center of gay rights in America.
But it did point out that San Francisco being a port city, where after the wars, when they started purging all these people out of the military because they were gay, they ended up staying in port cities and they didn't go back home because they were ashamed to. We probably could talk about this for the entire hour of so many different elements of this show. So maybe we'll continue this on in a future episode. You're listening to Queer Voices.